Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Mark Reardon Show on St. Louis's News Radio KMOX. I'm Bo Matthews. That's Trish Gazelle. And this one, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, you might want to call in on when we're talking about youth football and the rules and the things that are changing. So the numbers, if you don't already have them in your phone, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. I thought the hardest part of this story was going to be the name of the city. Fred Bottomer said, a town in Pennsylvania. I said, no, it's Conshohocken. Conshohocken. Conshohocken, I guess, is what it's called. A youth football team dominated its competition over the weekend last weekend. That's good news, right?
Youth football, yes.
We're talking 5-, 6-, 7-year-olds, right? So the Conshohocken youth football team is facing a $500 fine for breaking the league's rules against blowouts. Anything that goes over 30 points is against the rules, and that's where the fine could come into play. And here's the story. $500. Yeah, where's that coming from?
Don't play well, just play okay. That's the message that some parents feel is being expressed to their young football players, and they think that there's a better way.
On Saturday, the Conshohocken Golden Bears were doing really well, up 30-0 in a game against Roxborough. At that point, Coach Kyle Williams said he advised a ref to throw a flag on the next play.
We throw a flag, it's less than 2 minutes, just in case anything happens, and it didn't go that way.
A 5-year-old player on the Golden Bears ended up in the end zone, scoring and violating a league rule against blowout games.
There's a 31-point rule that every organization, every team has to abide by. Yeah. We violated that rule.
And with that comes a potential fine of $500 for the team by the Keystone Sports League. In the video of that touchdown, Coach Kyle can be seen sprinting up the sidelines trying to dissuade his player from scoring.
It's 5, 6, 7 years old. Yeah. It's hard to teach them and come out here as it is, so by them getting the ball and running, it's like, okay, stop. No.
Former Eagle Torrey Smith took to Twitter on the matter and has since gone viral, writing in one tweet, quote, kids need to learn how to deal with failure. Don't want to get smashed. Play better.
It's to prevent embarrassment on the other team.
It was clear in our interview with league president Mike Michelonis that he was not happy with the touchdown made under Coach Kyle's watch or by our covering this story. But it has gotten a lot of people talking. Parents who largely support the coach suggested if a league doesn't want a blowout, just end the game at the 30-point lead.
Now, the Bears will have a hearing on Monday to find out if that $500 fine will be required, and that league president indicated that other penalties may be handed down in all this.
That is an amazing story to me. That's
ridiculous.
Out of CBS
story.
Out of Philly. I get it. You know, it would be so easy to solve this problem. You get a game that goes to a score of 30, game's over. Instead of
the message, yeah, hey, if you're doing too well in life, stop trying.
This is and if you don't do well enough in life, you should get a participation trophy, right? To me, it blows me away just because. You get players like former Philadelphia Eagle Torrey Smith. His tweet that went out was fantastic. It just, hey, life is hard sometimes. And so when you think about sports leagues, these are little people, 5, 6, 7 years old. It's amazing. You want to encourage them. You want them to win. I want to see the video. I didn't see the video of the coach running alongside the player that's trying to shut him down.
Trying to stop him.
It's like,
that's crazy.
Surprised he didn't tackle him. He would have gotten
to get fined for this.
And you know, it's expensive enough to put kids in sports, and now they want to fine him $500. All right, Jeff's on the line. Jeff, are you a dad? Are you a coach? Are you in agreement?
Well, I'm not in agreement on this at all. This is silly. I think that football player is correct. You got to learn how to. That there's failures in life. What I mainly called about was to say hi to Trish because it's been a long time since I've talked to you on the air.
Oh, I know who this is. My big brother Candy Crush partner.
Yeah, I had to go to Candy Crush Anonymous.
we're Facebook friends, and Jeff's wife, Adrienne, right? All watch Big Brother, and we all play Candy Crush.
Can I tell you a brief story?
Of course.
You're going to love this. You know what she did this last season? I thought I was addicted to the car auction shows or something like that. She would tape Big Brother After Dark on a DVR, watch it the next day at the same time, and she had the sound down. She was reading the closed caption. At the same time, she had her laptop on, watching the live feed, and had her cell phone out looking at the Twitter.
She really likes Big Brother.
She's crazy. She's crazy. And when I heard you were going to be on, I said, I got to call and say hi. And Bo, you know who you remind me of? You remind me of Rick Sanborn. Voice quality.
Wow, I'll take that.
That's a compliment.
Oh, absolutely.
Any day.
Absolutely.
Jeez. Well, we're glad you called, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, by the way, before you hang up, did Trish get you on to 90 Day Fiancé yet?
No.
There's another reality show you can follow up with. All right. Hey, I appreciate the call. Good to see that reunion happen. We got Art on the line. Let's talk football. Are you a dad or a coach?
I'm a dad. I think they should follow what Bernie Sanders said.
Whoa.
And that was to let the kids play the whole game out, and they just split the points up between the two teams.
No, I really should reserve my laugh. I shouldn't laugh. There's a school of thought to that, and I know you're trying to be funny, Art, but seriously, how do you feel? Do you think that they should be fining $500 for something like this?
No, I think the refs should be held accountable. They should have shut the game down.
Yeah,
it's pretty clear to me that the only person that made the mistake here was the ref that let the game keep going.
Yeah, I agree. How do you stop the kids, you know, mid-play? Hey, don't do well. Don't score this touchdown. That's bad. Like, it doesn't even make sense. It's
after
such
you practice so much.
Mixed message, yeah.
Do your
Just
best.
Say, hey, game over, you won.
Yeah,
right.
Congratulations.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
And it's a done deal. I mean, the rules are the rules. So if that's the rule, they need to abide by it. But, you know, they find the team $500 because the ref let the play keep going.
If I was ever in my childhood sports, if I ever had a 30-0 game, that would be the best. We were getting pizza that night.
Right. Pizza party and have the
and ice cream for crying out loud. All right, Art, thank you so much for the call. But yeah, I think former Philadelphia Eagle Torrey Smith, who tweeted, kids need to learn how to deal with failure. Don't want to get smashed. Play better. I love the mantra. I love the mantra. But, you know, when you go to any kind of a little league game or something, the parents are so into it. They are so into it like crazy. But you got somebody else? Bob. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Hello.
Talk to me.
I tell you what, the football player that said they got to learn to deal with adversity or whatever, you also have to learn to deal with rules. There's rules in life. We play by the rules as part of being a sportsman.
It's all part of building the character, too, right?
Yeah. So if you're, if the rule is 30 points, we know you got to teach the kids the rule. We cannot score anymore. That's up to the coach. So he has some responsibility. And I don't want to get a fine for driving over the speed limit. But if I don't obey the rules,
you get a ticket.
Life is full of rules. It really is.
Yeah, and football be full of disappointments for paying a ticket.
You know, and this is kids that are 5, 6, 7 years old that are looking at their parents watching football on a Sunday, and their team loses, and how do they react? Well,
that's right.
Play better. That's what we want to do. But anyway, Bob, thank you very much for the call. Hope you have a great weekend. It is Friday. A lot of games going on this weekend. A lot of practice going on. But keep that in mind. Of course, this is in Conshohocken, Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania.
Yeah, let's go with Fred's. And a town in Pennsylvania.
A town in Pennsylvania.
So that's there. That may not be here. But, you know, weird things happen. As far as you can, I mean, and it could make
it here. There were no rules when we played in the CYC here in St. Louis when I was young. It was like you win or you lose.
Right, that's it.
And you celebrate or you practice harder.
You get pizza or you don't get pizza. Sarah's on the line next. What do you got, Sarah?
Hi, I just wanted to comment. My husband is a high school football coach, and why can't they use the rules that they use in high school?
What's that?
if there's more than a 35-point differential, you just have a running clock. Then you're done.
Oh, okay. So do you get off the field at when the clock's out or no?
Yeah, so basically they don't ever stop the clock between plays. So in Missouri high school football sports, once it's a 35-point deficit between the two, it's an absolute running clock, and the third and fourth quarter are done in about 30 minutes.
And the parents are jumping up and down for joy.
Exactly.
All right, Sarah. Hey, good luck to your team this weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's the Mark Reardon Show. Bo Matthews, Trish Gazelle on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX. And it's Friday. Bo Matthews, Trish Gazelle, covering for Mark as he's enjoying a long weekend. Good for him. And talking about this random town of Pennsylvania where a little league, I mean literally 5, 6, 7-year-old kids playing football, they had a blowout. They went over 30 points, which is against their league rules, and they are threatened with a $500 fine. And we wanted to continue with this just for a little bit. Terry, she has a perspective on this as well. Mom or a coach, what do you have for me?
I'm a grandma.
Okay.
And I agree with your previous caller. I think, and I will tell you, our grandson plays for Hillsborough, fourth grade boys, and they're the top team in our county, in Jefferson County. But they frequently get above 30 points ahead of the other team. And I think letting the clock run would be a great alternative. I really don't think they should be penalized like that $500 or whatever. So
that's ridiculous.
I think the kids should be encouraged to play their best on either team.
And even at that age group, it is expensive to get your kids geared up for what they need. And so to throw another $500 fine on that is ridiculous. Just run the clock. I love the idea. Run the clock.
Right. I agree with that. Bo, it's great to hear you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Terry.
The funny thing is, anytime you bring up this topic, the opinion of the people talking about it, the callers, all the same, the internet, all the same, but somebody must be complaining in order to get these rules in effect. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Every time this conversation's brought up, and it has been over the years on radio, TV, whatever.
99% of the people are one way.
It's always, they're, you know, no one, what do you want, a participation trophy? The opinion seems to be always the same, but someone has to be raising this issue.
But isn't that our job, to find the anomalies of the human condition? You know, the unique things, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Picking out this little town, this random town in Pennsylvania.
For sure. No, but what I'm saying is the opinion is always like, this is stupid.
The majority says.
You either win or you lose.
Right.
But someone has to be making these complaints that, oh, my kid was sad because they lost by 30 points in order to have this rule in effect.
Yeah, and they sit around and they drink their margaritas and they think, okay, well, how else can we mess with them? This has got to, let's make up a rule. You know, I've lived in a homeowners association neighborhood one time in my life. Will never do it again if I don't have to. And some of those rules are a little crazy. The architectural, you know, review boards and things like that. It's like, really? Short story. We bought a home in Florida, and we weren't in the home a week, and we got a letter from the architectural review board of this neighborhood, and they said, you must fix your grass, or we will fine you $100 a day.
Fix your grass?
Yeah, fix your grass, and at the end of 30 days, we will put a lien on your house. It was in the bylaws of this HOA. You know what they were talking about?
Uh-uh.
They were talking about the square hole where the for sale sign was in the ground, that when we removed the for sale sign, because the house sold, because we bought it, there was a hole in the ground, and that's what they were talking about.
Are you kidding? And it couldn't have been that big. Were they inspecting your lawn?
They were. 4 inch by 4 inch. It was crazy. My wife went out to go talk to the architectural review board, and they drove away. They were snapping pictures, and she walked out to talk to them, drove away. I'm like,
hey, we just bought this house a week ago.
And do you know, we spent every weekend traveling around Central Florida looking for a rural home because of these crazy rules people come up with. It's absolutely insane. People take up too much time. We got more football talk? Dennis is on the line. Dennis, what do you have for me, sir?
Well, I want to express my opinion as a grandparent. There was no football for 5, 6, and 7-year-olds when I was growing up, and we grew up fine and grew a crop of good professional football players and college football players. 5, 6, and 7-year-olds, even 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds have no business playing organized football. They're going to get hurt. It's ridiculous. Kids need to be kids. Too much organization.
You know what? That's a great perspective. I appreciate that, Dennis. Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, I mean they're still growing and they're still strengthening, and that's a good point. I mean, maybe it was flag football. We don't know. But
whatever whatever sport it is, there's all kinds of rules when kids are playing about this type of thing.
True. Okay, one more call on it on the football fine for going over 30 points in a game for a blowout. We got Patty. Patty, what is your perspective?
As a player and a coach, no matter what sport, they shouldn't let it get that high in the first place. If it's a kid's that young, the second string and the third string should get put in sooner, and that would probably help avoid that issue.
Oh, okay. See, when we bring the minds together to solve these problems, thank you very much for the call, Patty. That's another good one. You know, is there an age limit on that kind of thing, football? So fantastic. Hey, I do want to tell you that the last call for the Loop Trolley has brought out a crowd. And I want to bring this up because the Loop Trolley is one thing. The Kansas City version of that is doing phenomenal in Kansas City. They're even talking about extending it to further neighborhoods in Kansas City.
So what's the difference?
You know,
what are they doing?
Okay, my gut reaction is if you look at the Loop Trolley, it looks like it's straight out of 1903, World's Fair, era. I mean, I know it's...
Which is probably on purpose.
For the authenticity of it, it's an attraction, and it's very cool looking. They have something similar like that. They have a bus similar to that in St. Charles that runs around. It looks like a trolley, but it's a bus. They actually drive it on wheels, not on tracks. Kansas City, though, let me tell you, they are killing it out there. But if you look at their version of their trolley... It's beautiful. It's high-tech looking. It's something I would want to jump onto. It's certainly nicer than a subway in New York, but and it's really effective. Matter of fact, some people are really happy with it.
This is the streetcar to Union Station.
We have logged 90,000 miles on each of our streetcars right now, and that's pretty high.
Every day, thousands of people hop on one of four streetcars that run the two-mile route from the River Market to Union Station.
I live downtown, work downtown, so it's very convenient.
This is clean and efficient, easy to find, very nice.
Now the Kansas City Streetcar Authority is adding two more cars to keep up with the growing demand.
About 6 months into our service, we saw, wow, this is really working.
Streetcars 805 and 806 are currently being assembled and are expected to be in service by the end of the year.
Each streetcar costs about $5 million. We're using existing funds that we have saved in our reserves through the Transportation Development District, so we're not needing any more additional money.
Like the current fleet, the new streetcars will hold up to 200 riders, helping to reduce wait times.
Right now they wait about 10 to 15 minutes on average. We could cut that down to 7 to 10 minutes.
Next stop.
One of the things we did not anticipate was that the streetcar would become an attraction.
Mike Hurd with the Downtown Council of Kansas City says the streetcar has been a huge economic boost for businesses along the route.
We've had several of our retail partners tell us that since the streetcar opened, their walk-in business is up 50% in that time. And it's just amazing.
Well, good for Kansas City because they did it right, and the locals there in Kansas City jumped on board, literally. Here's the problem with the Loop Trolley in U-City, that the feds may want their millions back if it goes under. And, of course, I wanted it to work. I thought it looked really cool. There's a lot of things to see in St. Louis for our tourists. Have you ridden the trolley? I haven't.
I haven't been on it yet, but, they were talking they need about $700,000. From the county, so they had said that, and if they don't get it, they're going to have to close in mid-November. So that's why everybody was rushing out yesterday. They had a lot of people trying to ride it just in case it's gone.
Yeah. I mean,
just in case.
Yeah. The U.S. government...
Not over yet, but...
It's sad. It's sad. That's the exact same... people are jumping on it right now. That's the exact same reason we traveled to San Francisco, because the fires in California years ago was like, we need to go see the Redwoods before they're gone. Well... They will never be gone because they have a bark on them that won't burn. But anyway, check this out. The U.S. government paid for about 2/3 of the $51.5 million on the Loop Trolley. And again, if they stop operating, the government is likely to go, excuse me, could we get that back, please? And then where's Joe Edwards?
I know what they were trying to do, and I hope it works out because you know, anything like this is a good thing for the city.
Anything to boost that area, especially, you know? All right. It's Bo and Trish. And for Mark Reardon, happy Friday. This is St. Louis News Radio, KMOX. It is the... Trish is still hung up on the Oxford English Dictionary words.
It's the worst word.
I'm not going to say it again. Mark Reardon Show. This is Bo Matthews and Trish Gazelle and a special guest in our room, Kevin Colleen. I've been a fan. Can you be a fan of a news guy?
The crowd goes
for a long
wild.
Time? You've been here how long? A minute.
My hair was dark.
How you feeling?
You know, I feel a little off today, a little, I guess I'm over-caffeinated. I was in the kitchen earlier. And I just got a random cup of coffee, and it was Mark Trish's brew.
I knew wow. You were going to
have
say
you
that.
Ever had?
You know, Charlie Brennan lives for my coffee.
It's so black. I can only compare it to the beginning of the Beverly Hillbillies when Jed Clampett fired at the ground and up from the ground came a bubbling
crude. What real men drink. Charlie loves it. When he comes in, he likes to start his show with a cup of my coffee.
Well, you're the caffeine behind the Charlie Brennan Show, then. Mm-hmm.
I think you put a little thing of 5-hour energy in there. Is that what you do?
No, it's pure coffee. It's a secret recipe.
Really? Okay. Well,
she just uses two bags is what she does.
Don't tell everybody because I want to be known for my coffee.
All right. Well, we have exciting news from the St. Louis Board of Aldermen.
Okay, well, we must because there is a move underway at City Hall to designate St. Louis parks as child care facilities?
Well, the thing they are looking at ultimately is to keep guns out of parks.
Right.
And this is the idea of Alderwoman Kara Spencer. She says, look, we've had a dozen kids killed in the city this summer.
We've seen unprecedented levels of violence here in our city as of recently. And not only violence, but violence against children. You know, we've had 13 kids killed this year. And we need safe places for our families and for our kids that are gun-free.
So the idea hit the floor today, and aldermen were buzzing about it. And the nuts and bolts are they'd put signs up that would say no guns allowed. And if you are seen by a police officer with a gun, they wouldn't randomly frisk you for guns or stop people. But if a cop sees somebody with a gun, he could issue a summons similar to a traffic ticket for $100.
But shouldn't they do that already? It's not really about keeping guns out of the parks. It's about keeping the bad people out of the parks. It's not about the guns. It's
but
about the people.
How do you do one without the other?
Well,
that's okay. A good question, I guess.
If you have your bad people sunglasses, you could put on and it would identify the bad people.
X-ray
They're guns. Looking for that. So today, what's the reaction to this? Here's Alderwoman Megan Green.
I think it's worth a try. I mean, we're at a place right now where, you know, last night I was getting calls by hearing, you know, 12 rounds of gunshots being fired at one time.
And Trish, you live in the city. Do you ever hear gun volleys at night?
All the time.
I do
mean,
you
honestly,
really?
And I'm not even, we play a game, my upstairs neighbor and I, and we text each gunshots or fireworks, like take a guess.
Wow.
Because it's almost every night.
It's the same in the county I live in as well. Jeff County, sometimes you don't know. We don't have a texting game like you.
But I mean, what I'm saying is it happens so much that, you know, we've almost made it into a joke. It's not funny, but.
I live in Webster. We hear our taxes going up every night.
Okay. What's going to happen to the people that are caught with guns?
They would get a ticket, and they would not be cuffed and taken into the station, but they'd say, sir, it's against local ordinance for you to have a gun there. In this park, so we're going to give you this ticket, and you will have to show up in court and pay $100.
But Kevin, isn't that the idea of a concealed weapon? You won't see it unless it's being used by a bad guy with bad guy sunglasses on.
Well, as you know, concealed weapons are prohibited in city halls and child care facilities.
Most company buildings.
So they're trying to designate parks as child care facilities because there's so many kids there who are in organized programs. That are paid for by the city. The city has different programs. But here's some more aldermen weighing in. I think it's fascinating how some of them are for it, but then we're going to get to a guy who's so against it, he has his own gun. But here's Alderwoman Annie Rice. She's for it.
I think good guys with guns is a horrible fallacy, that good guys with guns don't stop bad guys with guns. Like, it's something that I fundamentally disagree with the premise of that.
And you hear that same theme from Alderwoman Sarah Martin.
I am all for this. I don't think, I mean, I live across from a park. My kids are in the park every day. I do not want guns in the park. And we've seen time and time again with these unfortunate mass shootings, a good guy with a gun doesn't stop them. So I'm tired of that excuse.
But at least one alderman, Bo, he has misgivings about this because he lives in an area, he lives in North St. Louis, and he says in some city parks, he would not feel comfortable without his own gun. It's Alderman Brandon Bosley.
Do you carry a gun for your own protection?
Depending on where I go, yeah.
Would you feel less safe in the parks if you couldn't carry a gun for your own protection?
In some of them, absolutely. Yeah, we all would love to live in a place where you don't have to feel like you have to carry a gun, you know, especially around children when you're taking your kids to go play. But that's unrealistic in a city where you have individuals that are shooting and don't give a damn about where the bullets are flying and who they're hitting.
That was pretty chilling, I thought.
It is.
That's an alderman, a St. Louis alderman who packs heat.
You know, yesterday, Trish and I were talking about Beto O'Rourke's headline about confiscating guns door-to-door with the police and the law enforcement are going to, you know, mandatory buyback. She made a really good point, and I felt this way a long time, and that is they shouldn't change. What they should do is to make mandatory is the training of guns. You have to go to a class to learn how to drive a car. I'm telling you, I thought about this late last night. You said it. It just struck a chord. It makes so much sense. You should have to go through extensive training if you're going to carry a firearm. Now, as a concealed carry person in Florida, Missouri, the laws are very similar. You go to an hour or two class and you're done, and you fill out the card, you pay the fee, and you're done, right? This way, I've bought weapons that I didn't even know how to clean. I wasn't that familiar with them. And I think with her extensive idea of extensive training, I just think that's really smart.
Well, I just don't see, and I just use me as an example. You both know me very well. Do you really want me, Trish Gazelle,
who makes Trish's Brew,
most
dangerous,
going to buy a gun on the way home with absolutely no idea how to use it or the safety of it, and just be able to walk around carrying a gun?
Sometimes,
we don't want that, do we? No.
No, sometimes it's an impulse buy because people are afraid, right? So if you were afraid of something, you may go buy a gun. But you may not take the extra steps to make sure you are trained in how to use that firearm to protect yourself. I think I would disagree with the alderwomen that said, you know, good guys with guns aren't going to help. I mean, it hasn't helped because there's, you know, children dying in these city parks.
Well, I think that argument you hear a lot is relates to mass shootings. But you have heard these individual stories of somebody who, you know, grandma had a gun and she shot somebody who was trying to rob her.
Right.
So where does this bill stand right now? So they introduced it today?
Yeah, it still has to go to a committee, and there'll be hearings about what do you think, and they'll probably bring in some people who are, you know, pro-gun, others who are against it.
Well, what's the vibe? Do they think it's going to pass, or anybody?
I think at this point, most of the aldermen we talk to are for it. That they say, hey, it might not be perfect. And there's also a question of whether it would survive a court challenge because, right, you know, the state law almost says just about anything goes in Missouri with guns. And so the argument is, does the city of St. Louis have the right to say parks are daycare facilities where you can ban guns?
Yeah, because you would definitely be arrested if you were to bring a firearm into a daycare center. But they're trying to compare the St. Louis parks to those facilities, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. So I don't know. Or should the daycare facility people have guns of them for themselves? You know, like they talk about school teachers having guns. It's a wild world. It really is.
Let me play one more for you. This is the last cut. This is Alderman Dan Gunther. He's for this, but I thought he brought up a really good point about signs.
I think any action that we can take to make our parks safe is good. Do I really think that people are going to follow a sign? I mean, they don't stop for stop signs, and they don't pick up their dog droppings, although there's signs that say, you know, no dog droppings allowed in parks.
It's a good point. Like, is a sign really going to stop someone? And is a $100 fee really going to stop someone? $100 fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. But they're looking into it. And at this point, it's looks like mostly aldermen for.
We'll just see. It's a beginning. It's a beginning. Just like talking about the Little League fines of $500 for playing over and getting over 30 points. It has to start somewhere. There's got to be a way. But again, it comes down to bad guys with guns, bad girls with guns. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I feel.
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll keep you posted.
Yeah, we want the post report, the after. We want to know what happens later.
I thought you meant the post dispatch.
The follow-up. No, we want the follow-up.
No, like,
and by the way,
the post report.
Kevin Killeen wearing a suit jacket in here. This is impressive.
Always.
That's
always
how cold it is.
Oh, is that the only reason?
He always wears a tie every day, too.
So we could get you a Snuggie, and you would be completely fine with that? Like Trisha's got, the leopard skin Snuggie over there.
No, I think I better stick with tweed.
Kevin Killeen, thank you very much. Really appreciate the help, and you did a great job on that story. This is the Mark Reardon Show on St. Louis News Radio KMOX. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at KMOX.com/Reardon. You can also listen live anywhere you go this weekend by downloading the radio.com app and find us there. It's Friday on KMOX. This is the Mark Reardon Show. My name is Bo Matthews. That's Trish Gazelle and hanging out. And this has been a busy week. It's been so crazy. Again, if you want to call in 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at KMOX.com/Reardon. Favorite game show. We know what your favorite Brain Candy, 90 Day Fiancé, and Love After Lockup shows are. Ooh, new Love After Lockup tonight. But game shows.
When I was little, I liked Joker's Wild, and I loved Press Your Luck. No whammies.
Oh, just, yeah. I think they were going to reboot that.
They did
think.
On the Game Show Network for a while. Yeah. But and it may have been on ABC, because, you know, ABC is doing Pyramid. It's doing all the revamps of the game shows now.
Family Feud, still a favorite. People, I mean, Steve Harvey does a great job on that show.
Match Game.
Match Game, that was cool. Did they reboot that too?
Okay. Yeah, on ABC.
Well, the price was most certainly right for a guy from New Jersey. Mike Stober became the show's biggest winner in daytime history in total. Well, you know what? I'll let Drew Carey tell you. Let's hear this.
Congratulations. So he wins the showcase, the bonus prize, plus the $2,000 on a Plinko, makes Michael the biggest winner in Price is Right history. $262,743 of the prizes. He just won over $250,000. So I'm glad you tuned in today. It was such a thrill to host this kind of show, I have to say.
And that is Drew. The previous winning record, by the way, was nearly $214,000.
I like Showdown.
What's that other one? Shazam?
Oh, Beach Shazam.
I like that show, too, as far as a new one. Anyway, weather is absolutely beautiful, and I hope Mark Reardon is enjoying his day off. It's Bo Matthews and Trish Gazelle, and I'm trying to line out the weekend. I've got friends that are going out to Lost Valley Lake that have invited us, and aren't people with RVs just so nice? I mean, just like the show RV. They're just so nice.
I don't know if I know anyone with an RV.
Oh, well, I'll introduce you to some.
Yeah.
Come stay in our RV. It's fantastic.
Some of those are really nice, though, I know. It's like being in a home.
With a fireplace?
Yeah.
Really?
A fireplace?
Oh, yeah. That's a thing.
I have not seen that yet. But
two bathrooms. Wow. Washers and dryers. That's our RV lifestyle. It's definitely, it's called glamping now.
Yeah, like the glamorous camping.
Yeah, that's it. And I've got a friend that's doing a church camp tonight, all camping out. And so I text him, are you going to be in a tent? No, we're taking my son-in-law's fifth wheel. I'm like, that's not camping.
Is that an RV? Slang for RV?
Yeah. Fifth wheel, Class A. They're all different versions. A pull behind, bumper pull. What are you doing this weekend? You got any big plans?
Oh, my sister's 50th birthday is tomorrow, so we'll go out to eat.
You
happy
said the
birthday.
Number out loud.
Oh, well, it is what it is. Happy birthday, Krista, tomorrow. Aww. So we'll probably go do something. And, you know, there's a lot of Halloween parties this weekend.
Yeah, there are.
I do not have a costume yet. I still feel like, and since we play the 80s on KZK, my normal job, I still say being a Robert Palmer girl is one of the easiest costumes ever, because you need a black turtleneck, slick your hair back, red lipstick, and a guitar.
And the spandex? Was there spandex involved?
A little black dress is fine.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I mean, like, so easy, boom. You probably already have it in in your closet. So and if I get...
I don't, but thank you for bringing it up.
Women, you know, last minute Halloween idea. If you have to go to a party, I still think that's the best.
Well, and what are we, a week away from Halloween? No, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks from yesterday. And I guess this would be the weekend to really get on it to if you're going to dress up. The last time I dressed up, I had a hatchet buried in my bald head.
That's a good one.
Hollywood style makeup, and it was really good. It's
actually, you could be so many. You could be Mr. Clean.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah. Fester from Adam's Family.
I was going to say that one, yeah.
Kojak, if anybody remembers that, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Telly Savalas.
Vin Diesel.
Yes.
Oh, and I have the abs for that. Let me tell you. Hey, don't be laughing at that. My goodness. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. It has been a blast last couple of days. Covering for Mark Reardon show. Again, if you miss any part of the show, you want to listen to it. We had some very important breast cancer information, breast cancer vaccine. They're getting close to it. And a woman in Florida has a great information. You can get that information on the podcast at KMOX.com/Reardon and share that with everybody you can think of. But it's 3:54 and we've got the cut of the day.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
And the cut of the day is sponsored by Good Feet, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. You know the Irish. Are you Irish? I'm a little Irish
a little
myself.
Bit, yeah.
Okay. Well, the Irish people have pranks. They like to prank their family. And this time he did it at his own funeral. Standing before a coffin, was lowered into the ground. Going 6 feet
so
down.
So this guy passes away, and he has organized a prank at his funeral?
My, yes, he has. And I it would be the biggest fear. What's the biggest fear about being in a coffin? Being buried alive, right?
Right.
Well, he let people believe. I mean, bagpipes slowly grow louder. It's signaling the end of the funeral. Before they cut out, this is what happens.
Hello? 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 Let me out! Come in the family! Hello? Hello? Let me out! I'm dying here!
That is the
best. So he had somebody play that audio at his funeral
and set
it up and everything?
They had a Bluetooth speaker in there or something. I don't know.
That's crazy.
How crazy. My favorite part of that whole thing, other than this guy being such, and there's, I got a picture of him. He's just a jovial Irishman.
Yep. Looks like somebody who would play that trick.
Drinking more beer, and the best part is the crowd.
Yeah, that's
laughing
great.
Laughing and so happy. That's fantastic. Well, if you want to relive that, could you imagine? Could you imagine doing that?
He had to have it. I mean, can you imagine if that's what he does at his funeral, what he was like in real life?
Yeah. There was a thing out at when Mr. Freeze happened. Who was the guy? Kent Hall went into like a coffin and they called him Mr. Freeze. He wasn't out at Six Flags. He was over on the east side doing this thing. He had to be in this thing for like 30 some hours in there, and you could go by and, you know, say hi to him through tubes and stuff. It was the weirdest thing.
No thanks.
Anyway, have a great weekend. It's Bo and Trish for Mark Reardon Show on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.